Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I wish somebody had about just two more minutes. They could be, they could just bow down and worship him. Worship him. Oh, worship him. I know you may be busy, but I got to bow down and I've got to worship him. Entering. I just want to forget all about myself and just bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him. Feel your presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus. There's a consuming fire in this place. Can you feel His presence? before you, because you're worthy. You're worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the praise, yes, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. I just bowed down here and said, thank you, Jesus. I just bowed down here and said, thank you, Jesus. You put food on my table and I thank you. Clothes on my back and I thank you.
People need to know what God has really done for us. I want people to know that His power is so real. It's no act.
Yes, Lord.
When my flesh gets weak, He renews my strength.
Glory.
I dare you to get into His presence. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to get into His presence. I dare you to just forget all about you. I dare you. I dare you to just say, Lord, just do something for me right now. I came out this afternoon. I need you to do something for me right now. That burden that you had, you don't have to take it back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just bask in His presence right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, if I was able to sing. That's all right. We have a psalmist. We have a teacher. We have a life coach. We have a mighty man of God on this line today. Hey, glory, Jesus. We bow down before you today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us another opportunity to come in your presence, Lord. Another opportunity to say thank you, Jesus. Another opportunity to tell you how great you are, Lord. Another opportunity to tell you how much we love you. Even though we're going through, Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you. We're going to put all our trust in you, Lord, for you've never failed, never failed us. You've never failed us, Lord. Hallelujah. That's your name, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give God praise today. Oh, hallelujah. Great, and He's greatly to be praised. Hey, glory to God. Oh, the Lord want us to take time and praise Him. He want us to think on His goodness and all that He's done for us. He want us to render unto Him what's due Him. Oh, glory, all our praises, they belong to God. He is the creator. He is the life giver. He is the sustainer. He is the way maker. hands of the mighty man of God, Pastor Edward Hamilton. We thank God for today. We thank God for making a sacrifice to come on and teach for these 2 days on going through with the purpose. Amen.
Jesus,
if there ever was a time we need to be encouraged, if there ever was a time for us to dig a little bit deeper, it is right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
So we thank God for the man of God.
Glory. We're
asking you to touch him, Lord. We're asking you to strengthen him. Hey, glory to God. God, we're asking you to touch the bereaved families all over the country. Remember Evangelist Phillips, she lost her sister yesterday morning. I lost a cousin down in New Orleans, Louisiana yesterday. Oh, God, but we ask him, the Lord, to continue to hug us, continue to comfort us, continue to encourage us and strengthen us, and know that there's nothing too hard for you. Hallelujah. We thank God for the man of God, and we thank him. He's our regular instructor and teacher and life coach, preacher. Hallelujah. On Provoke Fridays, every Friday. But he made a sacrifice, and he's coming on earlier, day earlier. And he's going to be teaching on this 2-day seminar. Now, we're going to give Pastor Hamilton the time to do what God has put in his heart to do, and that is to help us, grow to another level. Amen. So we probably won't be tuning in with the remarks and the comments today, but I promise you on tomorrow we'll leave some space for you all to have comments and remarks on this 2-day seminar. Amen. So it's into the hands of Pastor Hamilton. God bless you, man of God.
Well, hello, family. Do you know that you are loved and appreciated, highly esteemed and favored in the name of Jesus? Well, if you don't, I do. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you that you are. God loves you and he appreciates you. And I just thank God for another opportunity just to, first of all, get in his presence. Get in the worship of God and do everything you may hear. And I heard the woman of God say this, that it's most important for us to sometimes slow down and understand that the key to everything that we're trying to learn and everything that we're trying to obtain is in the worship. Sometimes we think it's in doing this and doing that. I'm here to testify today that in the worship, in the relationship, in the bonding with God, every principle that we talk about, it is universally connected through relationship with him, which comes to praise, worship, and his word. So I encourage you today, whenever you get a moment, you know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. I'd say today, worship without ceasing. If you could, you know, get into a repetition, a habit of worship, that everything you do will worship him. Everything that you say worships him. Everything that you are worships him. And when you find that, you will find that God now finds you pleasing in his sight. So I thank God for you today. I thank God for each and every one of you that are here. And I just want to lift it up right now. I just say to you, Lord Jesus, less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you, Lord. Lord, you've given me this principle, Heavenly Father God. I appreciate you, Lord, and I just ask you just to expound it a new way for me today. Everything that I know that I put down, Lord, I ask you to move in a new way today. I ask you to just have your way, Heavenly Father God. Heal the sick, Heavenly Father God. Restore the lost, Heavenly Father God. But most of all, those of us that are standing in your name, we ask right now, Heavenly Father God, that you just increase our spirit, Heavenly Father God. First of all, in our understanding. Then, Heavenly Father God, let our inner sight see the principle that you've laid before us today, Heavenly Father God. And, Lord, I just thank you. I worship you, Lord. Oh, I just thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I just can't get enough of saying thank you, Jesus. He put food on my table. He made a way out of no way. And when it was dark, he showed me the light. And I just want to give him thanks. That's all I got to give him thanks for. Not the monumental things. not the physical things, but the things of the spirit that he is continually growing in me. I thank him for that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Connect us, Lord Jesus, in your worship. Connect us, Lord Jesus, in your presence. Connect us, Lord Jesus, through your word, that we will hear one word with one God, and that's all you. So we give it to you right now in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God, family. Here we are again a day earlier. But it's a pleasure. This is, you know, I don't know if you've ever, there's a new saying that this is what I do. And when it comes down to it, it's not a sacrifice, because this is what I do. This is what I choose. This is what I make a conscious decision to do, what God has said that I need to do. So right now, we're going to go forward, and I pray that everyone that is on the line had an opportunity to see the drawing that was posted on Facebook. If not, I need your email today, and I can send you a copy. But we need to actually go through this principle through the, you know, sometimes it takes perception that we can see it. And then when we can see it and we start to go through it, God will show us how he put this thing together. It wasn't Pastor Ed. It was just my obedience to search and to find. And if you've seen the principle that finally was drawn up, I wish I had a way I could show you the original design that God gave me as I was in study about going through, and we're going to go through with purpose. Amen? So if you have a chance to look at it, it will be great. If you have it there, print it out. It's copyrighted, so it's all good. Print it out, and if you don't have it today, have it tomorrow so we can go through. I've got some fill-in-the-blanks for you, and there's a lot of more information that goes with this that you may not see right now. But I just want to break it down as simple as possible to show you that the principles, and you hear this every Friday, that the principle is set in standard, that we can go through the principle step by step by step to complete in victory. And going through with purpose today is going to show us how we can, you know, go through some things. I mean, you know, most of us, we complain when something comes up. I think the Lord said we're supposed to rejoice through our trials. Sometimes, you know, when obstacles come our way, instead of going through, we go around. And you'll see in a minute how when you go around something, you end up right back where you started from. And that's where enough is enough, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of comes from. Because when we avoid things and we don't go through what we have to, understanding, now today we're going to understand that it's your call, that it's your assignment, that going through is something that was set before you that you had to do. There's no way around it, because if you avoid the pain, the suffering, the trials, and the tribulations, you'll never receive the actual glory that God has for your life to be victorious. That when you walk out into the public, when you meet new people, that they see that on you. We talked about last week, instead of having a pen, you need to have him on the inside. So as we go forward, we're going to start with the word, and this scripture was put out there hopefully early in the week, but we're going to read Hebrews 5. And we'll start at the 7th verse. It's actually Hebrews 8 and 9, but we're going to start with the 7th verse. And in Hebrews 5 and 7, it reads, "Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear." Now, we're talking about Jesus here. So, first of all, we understand Jesus, he prayed, he offered up supplications for us, fervent cries and tears for all the things that he had experienced here on earth. But because of his fear of God, even though he was so connected to God that he was God, we read that in John 1 last week, that he was the Word, he was with the Word, and he was God in the flesh. So even in that sacrificial position, he still had godly fear. Then it says, though he was a son, yet he, now Jesus, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So it's available for us. Just because it was done, he says, for all of us who obey him. It didn't say all of us who believe in him. All of us who obey him. See, when you believe him, that's taking in a, you're taking in a ownership. But to now obey him, you walk in the anointing and in the calling of what God has said. So we see here, now I want to switch over to the Living. The Living has another little translation. I have to read this because it's awesome. And it reads verse 5, beginning at the 8th verse, it says, so even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all. Somebody ought to say all. See, it's available for all. Remember those words I told you that are key in the word that we have to really open up to? That word all means it's available to all who obey him. That's somebody ought to be excited right now. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the line of, and I never can say this right, but it's Melchizedek, Jesus. So we see here that even though Jesus was the Son of God, he had to go through some things. Even though he was the high priest, he still had to go through some things. So if Jesus did it, why not you? That's my first question. If Jesus did it, why not you? So as we look at the I'm not sure if you have the principle or not, but as we look at the principle going through, step one, and this is the universal principle. Now, I just want to share, if those who are on the line don't know, Provoke to Purpose is a curriculum-based ministry. We teach by principles. God has given us a way to hear his word, see it on the inside. Remember Deuteronomy 28:1? That we heard his word, we can see it on the inside, so now we can design it on the outside. And that's how this drawing came to life, is that it was by us meditating on God's word, searching, and I mean searching deeply for every nugget of what God has for us. Now, just to share with you all, I there's over 30 instances on Paul. We could have used Paul as an example. But for the sake of us being in line with the high priest, Jesus is our example here, because he came that we might have what? Life, and life more abundantly. See, when you follow Jesus, when you get in line with his principles, you're supposed to have life and life more abundantly. It means like the way life was yesterday has to be different today. More abundantly means that it constantly grows, that it constantly expands, that it constantly, every time you move, he moves with you. Every time that you worship, he's right there in the presence, worshiping along, enjoying the praises that go to his people. Because it says that the praises go up, what? The blessings come down. So it's a transference that as you give, he gives unto you. As you give, he gives unto you. Now the word said, as for all those who obey. We have to just stop reading his word. We have to start obeying his word. We have to stop getting off track on what we think it's supposed to say. The word is very, very clear. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's the same. Now, we read it and get different perceptions from it, but that is for the Holy Spirit to give us. And as we go through his word, he will give unto us the perception to see his word come to life. Remember, if I said to you, chair, what do you see? Not C-H-A-I-R, you see the actual chair. At least I hope you do. Or if I said TV, you don't see TV, you see, or television, you see a actual TV. So what I'm saying is that the word must start to be transformed from from letter form to spirit. This, now here's the word again. The Bible says that the letter killeth.
Ooh,
that's a deep one there. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So if you just see the word in a letter form, the life has not come. You have to get in this thing and start to transfer it from a letter form into a spiritual form. Amen? So as we're studying and doing, you know, this, I'm going to send Evangelist Bernard a copy of my original sketching. This is what, you know, me writing, and just so it's so much information on there that I had to dissect and let the Holy Spirit show me what he wanted for this principle. So in the principle of going through, in the principle of, there's seven principles that we teach here at Provoke to Purpose, and this is the third principle. But they all revolve around the number one teaching, which is the brain teaching. The brain teaching now transforms you from this world to the renewing of your mind in Christ. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's Christ in us, not on us. It's a relationship of bonding. John 15:5. Let me go there for a second. Because I just want to clarify some things, that this is all word. This is not Pastor Ed coming up with something in his mind. This is the word being put together in principle form where it connects the dots. Everything confirms each other. John 15:5. It reads, let's go to one. It says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. See, the word that was spoken comes to life. Because the word, if it was only in word form, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So the word now changes into a perception that you can see the word. And it says in 3, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you look at yourself, put your little self mirror up today. Look at yourself and say, it's about me. And it says in 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they were burned. Now here it goes again. Watch this. It's going to get a little deeper because, you know, we always use that scripture. If I abide in him, he abides in me. But there are some steps about abiding in him. You can't just abide in him without keeping his word and being obedient. And that's what this is all about, obeying his word. If we want to do what God says we can do, we must be obedient. And the only way to become obedient is following the steps that God has ordered for your life. Now, in 7, it says, and if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you must bear much fruit. Let's get down to 10, because we're going to stop right there. If you keep my commandments, that's obedience, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you may joy, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. See, it's all about you and him and you, and you and him. It's a barter and trade relationship. That when you abide in him through obedience, following his word, trusting his command, and putting all doubt aside, then now you are in a bonding relationship with God. It's no longer you, but it's the God in you. We talked about that last night, last week. We were talking about, you know, is there anything impossible for God? Well, as Friday we talked about, you know, nothing is impossible for God, but do we really believe in the impossible God? Does he really dwell in you? Right. Does, are you in a bonded relationship with him that he abides in you and you abide in him? That's the first step. We can't go any farther until we get that part. We must understand that we must relate with God, that we must bond with him. See, our sinful natures, and if you see the drawing, it says right there, our sinful nature will cause us to doubt, to fear. What was the first thing Adam and Eve did after they sinned? He called their name, and it's in Genesis 3, but he called his name, and what did they do? They hid.
They hid. Mm-hmm.
It was a spirit of fear. See, God has not called us to a spirit of fear, but a boldness. Of mighty, there's principle five, regaining your birthrights. See, there's a birthright that God has given us that we must instill in us by relationship with him. So if you want to go forward, if you want to take this journey, the first place we must start is in the relationship and in the bonding with God. None of this will work without that connection. If you are reading the Word of God and you're not in a love relationship with him, you're not in a bonded relationship with him, then I might say that you're probably not going to be successful. Because the number one step that we must take is changing the way we think and then allowing ourselves to be obedient when it says, if I must decrease, that's in John 3:30. It says, I must. John said, I must decrease. But then it says, but he will. Remember, will is a promise. If you decrease, he will increase. So we got to die some things. You know, you got to let the lesser things die so the greater thing may live, and that's him. Nothing else matters. And don't take this wrong, but not your children, not your spouses. Nothing matters other than you and your relationship with God, because your marriage will not be successful without a bonded relationship with God. Your children will not be raised, you know, it said, raise up a child in the way it will never be raised up in the way it should go, because your relationship is not with God. It may be with Channel 11 or the club or this or that or whatever. But if anything is taking you away from your bonded ability to be in relationship with God, that's where we got to stop. We have to understand that before we go anywhere, we must secure the fact that we are in a bonded relationship with God. That means everything else is put to the side. Nothing else matters. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this is what I do. I've accepted that this is my life. This is what I do, and this is how I get deeper. I am committed to my bonded relationship with God, because if I abide in him, see, back to the word, if I abide in him, it's a promise. He says, I will abide in you. There's no question. There's no doubt. If you take one, it says he'll take five. But if you give yourself to him by decreasing of self, if you give yourself to him by decreasing of your own thoughts and your own way of doing things, now he takes over. You don't have to do anything else. God now takes over and moves through you. But we have to develop a bonded relationship with God. So some may be here today and saying, well, you know, may I have a question on my relationship with God. Or am I really, if that question even came up, then that's where we need to look into the part where being connected to the vine. Hebrews 10 and 15. Let me read that for you. The word is what gives life. The word is what comes to life. So when we get in the word and we go deep in it, now God can show us what it was all meant to be.
My God.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Let me go there right quick. Well, we got 2 days. Pastor Ed's going to take his time, because I really believe this word is for such a time as this. Because,
yes,
you know, we may be going through some stuff, but are we going through with purpose? Huh, come on now. We may be going through just to get cares out. No, that's not what it's for. It's for to develop a purpose life, purpose-driven life, that everything you do is designed by your purpose that comes from your relationship with God. Not your relationship with me, not your relationship with your friend, not your relationship with the church, but your relationship with God is most important. You can't love your pastor if you don't love God. I don't want to throw that out there. I don't want to throw that out there too deep, because sometimes you find a lot of people that will follow their pastor and love them more than they love God.
Come on, you preaching.
You hear what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that as we get into relationship with him, that we give up of self and we let God be exactly who he is. No longer is it me that lives, but it's he that lives in me. Amen? Okay, so Hebrews 10. That's it. Now, we're going to start in the 16th verse. This is the word. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will," remember, will is the promise, "I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them." Remember, as he's writing those letters got to come to life on the inside. Where? In your heart, not on your heart. Not on your in your pocket, not on your sleeve, but in you is where that word must come to life.
My God.
And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." See, that's pretty simple right there. If you want to get rid of that sin that you've been through all your life, all you got to do is just submit to a relationship with him and allow him to come live in you. And then then it's that transfers of power. He abides in me, I abide in him. That's the only way it can work. So if you want the principles to work, the first place to start is in the relationship. No, let me backtrack. In the bonded relationship with God. We always want man to do something for us, but it starts with God. You cannot have anything successful in life. Now, I'm talking about us Christians that obey him. But if you want to be successful, you have to be in a relationship with him. It's just not, I said this last week. I made it through because I got a praying grandmother. Baby, you need to be the one praying. It needs to be you in relationship with God, so now your fervent prayers can avail of much. Oh, yes, I love for people to pray for me, but guess what? I want to pray in agreement. I want to say the same prayers with my family. I want to know that my prayers are in confirmation with what the Word says can happen in my life. That only comes by relationship with God. Now, here's some more words for you. Go to Luke 4. How y'all doing, family? I just had some visitors coming in, so they getting a free little preview here today.
Yes, sir.
And what a blessing. But Luke 4, it says that we should draw strength from above, not from the world, but from God. We got to go higher. That takes some work, doesn't it? Yes, you must work this thing. It's nothing. There's no free ride. The principles that God will show us as we're going through this principle, you're gonna see nothing but work for you. It's gonna take some work, some hard labor. It's gonna take some many times on your knees, constantly. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That only comes by God being in you. You know, I do this exercise with some people when they're in relationship with me, and I'll get in their car. The first thing I want to do is hit their presets on their radio, because what you give your attention to, that spirit will come live inside of you. So if I'm bonded to God, it must be all about him. I can't entertain the world anymore because I'm in a bonded relationship with him. And remember this. We said this the week before last, when we were talking about is there anything impossible for God? It's impossible for God to be involved with somebody who is not about him. I'm talking totally without him. If you think I part-time, I go on Sunday, I'm not trying to make you stop going to church. I just want to keep it real with you today. But if you just go to church on Sunday and at the end of the day, you're doing your own thing again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you go back to church Sunday broken, you're not working the system. Because the system means that we become strong enough that when we go in and fellowship with other believers, all we're doing is encouraging each other. We're just proving that how good God really is.
Mm.
I mean, not by a word that was written, but by how my life represents on how I act. If you see me, you see God in me. If I see you, I should see God in you. And we start high-fiving and worshiping and praising. And then that's when you see the collective relationship come together. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, it says, it's the power of God in us that will work this thing. So you see I'm taking my time on the first step. The first step is that we must be in relationship with him.
What a word. What a word.
That's what I'm teaching right now. So you see what I'm saying? So you got it. Listen. That's the finished principle there. But in that relationship with God, it has to be prolific. It has to be prolific. I'm going to say that one more time. It has to be prolific. There can be no lack. There can be no doubt. There has to be a strengthening power, because now that he abides in you, you now abide in him. You just whatever. See, you know, a lot of us are wondering why are we asking and we not getting. It says that if you abide in him and abide in him and you keep his commandments, anything you ask, you can have. Pastor, I've been asking for a new home. Well, are you really abiding in him and he abiding in you?
Oh, Jesus.
Are you really speaking his word into existence? See, a dead word, the letter kills, but the spirit, what? Gives life.
Thank you,
so our relationship with God must be strengthened.
God, our day.
You hear what I'm saying? So look. So start, we got to fix this thing with our bonded relationship with God. We must. If it's broken, fix it. Get out of that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, yes. If there's anything damaging in that relationship, that's why you hear me all the time saying, if there's anything in your life that is not edifying or lifting up the name of Jesus, you need to move that thing out your life.
My.
I know it hurts to cut some people off, but see, you got to get rid of some people. Some pain. There's some stuff in your life that keeps holding you back into your past. Remember this, I've said this many times, and this is a principle, that whatever is in your past will never let you be any better than you were in your past.
My.
Because you can't go forward. You're still stuck in, I did this. Let it go. He said that all your sins have been forgiven. They've been blotted out. He said that, now look, there's the word in Hebrews 10, we just read it. He says, I will promise you that I will write my law in your hearts and in your minds. You will be my people and I will be your God. That means there's no lack. See, that means there's no lack.
But if
you're having lack in your life, if you're having a bunch of stuff going on, I was talking to a sister the other day and she was like, and I hope she's online right now. I'm not going to put her name out there, but I hope she's listening today. But she said to me, you know, my spirit is just grieving me and giving me problems. And I explained to her that, you know, what spirit are you talking about? There's two.
Come on.
You have a spirit of God and you have a spirit of this world. They're in a constant war against each other to now take away the power.
Opposing factors. Come on.
God wants control, but the world don't get it twisted. The world wants control too. And here, this is a free one here for you. I need to charge for this one, but I'm gonna get this one they free.
Come on.
if you think the enemy is trying to get you on his army so you could be this or that, or you got a wrong thing coming. He does not care about you. He cannot use you. There's nothing you can do to help his mission other than not be in a bonded relationship with God. If he can block your hearing, if he can make you watch something on TV that's not godly, then he's winning the war. He doesn't want to rob, kill, and destroy you of your life. He wants to rob and kill you and destroy you of your relationship with God. That is, just like we serve a jealous God, there's a jealous devil out there too. Do you know that we have a relationship that he used to have with God?
Man, you preaching today, Jesus.
We have what he cannot have anymore. So he is envious of us. He wants to take away from us what we have, and we have an opportunity to have a one-on-one relationship with God. by us abiding in him and him abiding in us. It must be done in that process. So back to the drawing. We see number one step, and we haven't even went far yet, but the number one step is your relationship and your bonding with God. Okay, and guess what? I want you to be encouraged today that if there was a little doubt that came into your mind when I've said these few things that I have about relationship, it's okay because it's done. All you have to do is get back in line. See, as long as, you know, what I'm going to do right now is everybody just to take a deep breath. Blow it out. One more time. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Okay, as long as you can do that, here's time. As long as you can still breathe a breath of air on this earth, you can get it in line right now. That's why we talk about the now principle. 0 to 5 seconds. Breathe out. That's enough time to get back in line with God. We can fix our relationship. We can go forward through the principle because now at least there's an awareness that you must fix your bonded relationship with God. That's the number one factor. Yes, this teaching is going to teach us some things. It's going to show us how we can go higher. Your life cannot stay the same, family. The life has to change. But it has to change daily. When? I'm on a week program, or I'm on a year program. No. It's a daily process. Go to Luke 9. And that's in the 23rd verse. This is the word. I want you to see that this is the word put together in a form that can connect the dots and get us from the beginning to the end in victory. Luke 9 and 23. And it reads, and this is, I know you see the red writing, so who said it? Jesus said it. Then he said to them all. See, there's that word again. See how many times when you really pay attention that you understand? A lot of people say, oh, he wasn't talking to them. He was talking to all. But there now comes the point where we must make a choice to obey him. You can read it all day long, but if you do not obey it, you might as well just give it up. We must, family, listen, we must go higher in our commitment and our obedience to him, that there's no room for the enemy to come in. Mm. Oh, yes, your sinful nature will always. Now, I mean, some people out there may not confess this, but I'm going to confess it right now. My sinful nature, pinch yourself. You feel that? That's your sinful nature. Mm. Your sinful nature will always want to lead you to sin.
Come on.
I don't care how close you get. I don't care how much relationship you have. You got a bonded relationship with God, and I'll tell you today, if you kick me, my first reaction, my first thought process is going to want to kick you back. But the greater is he that is in me than the evil that's in the world says, oh, no, Pastor, you don't do that no more. I don't love on him. But my first, somebody ought to testify this today, but my first nature, my first sinful nature is the one to kick your butt back. But the God in me says, no, baby, we don't do that no more. Because we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Glory, Lord Jesus.
See, I can't think foolish no more because I think godly. Mm-hmm. I can't act foolish no more because it's God in me. I can't act a fool. Well, I know I take that back. I act a fool for Jesus all the time. But I can't act a fool for the world no more. Because everything must be done decently and in order. And when my relationship, my bonding relationship with God elevates, and don't get it twisted either, family. If God wanted it done, he could just speak it, wave his hand, and it's already over. But the process means that we have to work it. We got to put in the work. So instead of him just saying, okay, I'm going to give you this, no, we got to get into the principle of abiding in him and him abiding in us. And whatever I ask, I shall have.
Well, will you have, if I ask for $1 million, will I have it today? Well, if that's in God's will, yes. Well, watch this. Watch this. Now, you got to catch this part because we always get mixed up in this. When you pray a prayer of your desires, guess where the desires come from when you're connected with God in relationship? They come from God. So you're not asking for something that God has not already put in your heart to ask for. He's already put it forth. He's already planned it. Remember, we say it all the time. It's already done. But if it's already done, how do I get in line to receive what's already done? Through my relationship, my bonded relationship with God. Because now when I ask, whatsoever I ask, I'm asking what he already told me to ask. So if I ask for something, it's not out of the boundaries of me to receive it because God says I can have whatsoever I ask when I'm obedient to his word. And you got to get that part. You got to get that part. We have to get that part. Is that, you know, you can abide and do all that stuff, but the very most important thing is obeying his commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. You know, our world is so different today than the first 10 commandments. All I say to you is thou shalt not do anything that is not in line with God's word. You want to get higher, you have to go through the principle from start to finish, understanding this is a daily walk. You got to understand when stuff comes up, it was already planned to come up. It's by no mistake that you lost your job. It's by no mistake that somebody ran in front of your car at lunch. It's by no mistake that you had to hold back your old way of cursing and speaking godly to somebody. It's by no mistake. It was all put into place that you can now have a what? Testimony on how to go through. Because somebody else needs this just like you do. This is just not for you. It's for us. But we must get it personal first before we can ever give it to somebody else. So as we, I hope we're clear here that we must start everything we do in God with our relationship, our bonded relationship with him. You got to give him more time. So as I was talking about the two spiritual awards, that if you're giving a God 1 hour a day and you're giving the world 23, who's going to win? That's simple. If you're giving God 10 hours and you're giving the world 14, who's going to win?
Nah, man.
If you're giving God 14 and you're still giving the world 8, who's going to win? Because, see, watch this. Watch this. This is going to blow you away here. Because of your sinful nature, it will always draw to sin. So if you're still giving yourself 10% to the world, that's 10% that's going to multiply faster than the other side was, because the enemy is here to rob, kill, and destroy your relationship with God. He does not want you to hear God clearly. He does not want you to see God clearly. He does not want you to do what God said do clearly. He wants us to walk around in blindness. He wants us to walk around with a mysterious thinking God. We don't serve a mysterious God. We serve a miraculous God. But if we keep following a mysterious God, that's just who you're going to be serving, a mysterious God. Well, I don't know, baby. It's going to come. No. When you're in a bonded relationship with him, he'll show you exactly what you're supposed to be doing. When? Right now. Oh, well, I got a 10-year plan. Throw it out. I got to find it. Throw it out. Get a God's plan and watch him do it in such a time as this.
But
your relationship must be in order. If your relationship is not growing daily, you got problems. We must give God more than anything else.
And don't get this twisted,
family. Don't get this twisted. Some of that stuff you're watching on TV, you got to stop.
Come on, Pastor.
Some of that stuff you're listening on the radio, you got to change that station.
I keep the gospel station on.
You know, hey, look. I like oldies, too. But I had to stop listening to oldies. You know why? Because they were blinded to me.
You better say it.
Look, look. know, we always make an excuse. We make excuses that, oh no, you know, let's get it on and those type of songs. They don't curse and but every time you listen to that song, doesn't it remind you of what you did back in the '70s?
That's right.
So see, that's why I had to stop listening because I'll be right and I'm gonna throw me in some old. I love the old chains, but I had to stop listening to the old chains because their words will remind me, even though it wasn't talking about how these songs that they talk about women and men and this and that. But it reminded me of where I was at back then.
Where you were, yeah.
Don't you know that when I think about what I did back then, that's going to make me want to do what I did back then?
Yeah. Hey, Gloria, you preaching today.
Some things you got to let go. No, there's a lot of things that we got to let go. There's a lot of things that we got to put up a guard against. Me and Evangelist were talking the other day, and I shared with her. It is her responsibility to guard her ministry. Nobody else. It is her responsibility to be the one that's in charge of what God said do. And if it's not in line with what God said do, she got to shake it off. And then some people use this excuse. Man, he's charging $1,000 a month, but he's sleeping with five women. Do you think that's not a good seed?
That's not a good seed. That's right.
Now that seed is going to come in, and it's going to contaminate the good seed. See, this relationship thing is deep. And I know it's scary for some because, you mean I got to give that up yet?
That's right.
You know, I got to stop eating that yet because what you put in will come out.
Coming out.
We think about our over, you know, our obesity and our overweight. Well, what are you eating? What are you putting in?
Yes,
and you're we're expecting a different result, but we're putting in the stuff that's going to give you one result.
Mm.
Hallelujah. So all I have to say is your relationship with God must be intact. I can't go any. I'm trying to go farther. And this principle is going to go farther, but I got to stay on this right here.
Your
bonded relationship with God must get better daily. Your bonded relationship with God must grow daily. Your bonded relationship with God must be, that's all it's about. Or you'll still be sick and tired, and sitting in the same old rut, complaining about the same old stuff, going through the same old thing over and over and over again because we have not got it in our spirit that we got to go forward. Not backwards. We can't sit dormant. We must move. You heard what I said? We must move. When you move, that means you change positions. Here we go again. But your sinful nature will always try to lead you from not doing what God says do. That's why it's so important for our bonded relationship to be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might, not my might, but in the power of his might.
Ah, Jesus.
And then we can, it's not us doing the thing, it's the God in us that becomes victorious. It's the God in us that proves the fact that I can go through and still be happy. And that I can go through and still have joy. You're going to learn this as we go through this principle. You'll see it's possible to go through and be happy. It's a process that you must do. Okay, so now we're going to go to Luke 9:23. And then he said to them, if anyone, see, there's that confirmation word that this is for everybody. When you choose not to be obedient, now you've excluded yourself. But it says, if anyone desires to come after me, I desire to come after him. I desire a bonded relationship with him. I desire that it's more of him and less of me every day. That eventually it'll be all of him. This process will elevate. This process will get better. Those thoughts that come up, they'll stop coming because I give more of him and less of me. one desires to come after me. Now, this is something that's going to be probably hard for a lot. But as we get in a relationship with him, as we get in a bonded relationship with him, we can now see it's possible. It says, let him deny himself. Step one. Let him, look, that's the word. It says, let him deny himself. Stop talking about you and talk about Jesus. Stop thinking about you, think about Jesus. Stop praying about you, just pray about Jesus. That's when everything else will come into fruition. So first of all, you must deny himself. Then it says, take up his cross when? Daily. Oh, Jesus. You mean I got to put a cross on every day? Yes, you do. That word daily, it means the same thing. It's daily, every day. And for me, I take it a little bit higher. Every 0 to 5 seconds, I got to pick up my cross. It didn't say take up the same cross. It says take up his cross because every day you got a new trial, a new tribulation, a new circumstance, a new situation that will come at you and try to deter your relationship, your bonded relationship with God. If anyone desires to come after me, that means you got to follow. If you want to come after him, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. It says me, but it says, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. This is 24. But he whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. See, when you die of you, you still live because it's the Christ in you that lives. For what advantage is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, see, we got to be bold about Jesus. We can't just talk about him at church. I might get fired. Well, that's not the job you should have had. I can't talk about Jesus at my job because my boss is a Muslim. I bet he talks about Muhammad.
Thank you.
If you cannot profess him any and everywhere you go, that's not where you need to be.
All right.
For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. And it is his Father and the holy angels. But I tell you the truth. There are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. We were talking about this the other day. See, that's proof right there. You ain't got to wait to get to heaven. Won't you just start pulling heaven down right now?
All right.
See, if I can pray the prayer of Matthew 6, kingdom come, will be done on earth as it what is in heaven.
It
that's
is
telling
in
me
heaven.
That I can pull it down from heaven. I don't have to wait to get to heaven. I can have some heavenly experiences right now. If we're supposed to live in a new Jerusalem, if we all come together as one body, one church, with one word, serving one God, do you know we can do some transformation things in the spirit that we can bring down the heavenlies here to earth? Let's push the process. Instead of waiting on Christ to come back, let's get prepared for him to come back. So now, as we, in our bonded relationship, we can now pull down the heavenlies here on earth. It says, I was going to go to Matthew 6, but I'm back to where we were. And it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's and the holy angels. See, you might as well get it just already stuck in your spirit. Daily. 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 You are going to have to take up your cross. Well, no, you don't want it to be the same cross every day because that means you're not growing. Maybe I'm the only one that has a lot of crazy thoughts
that come up all the time trying to get me to do this and trying to get me to do that. See, that's a call.
You're not alone.
No, I can't leave that alone. See, look. Your cross has to change. You got to get some stuff accomplished.
My God, you can't stop.
Family, we cannot keep carrying around the same old junk. If we want to go higher,
we must take up
a cross daily and bury it. It says, put those things behind me.
Mm-hmm.
When? Right now. Stop holding on to that stuff. Get rid of it. Because tomorrow you got a new cross you got to deal with. When? Daily. When? Daily. Ooh,
yeah.
Jesus. When? Daily. See, you got to see, every day must be accomplished day.
Ooh.
We must wake up every day with all our hearts already anticipating, what cross am I going to take up today? See, that's some work. See, I'll tell you, every principle, you're going to have to work it. But that means that, you mean to tell me that I have to go and discern what things are my cross? Yes. You know what bothers you. You know what hinders you. You know what you go through.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's your responsibility to have to take it up daily, follow him, and get rid of it. Because tomorrow there's going to be a new cross.
But if you look at the principle,
after you've taken up your cross, it ain't easy, because as soon as you come up against that obstacle, you got the cross on your back. But as you get ready to go through, we always want to go around. Mm. Oh, that hurts. That's too painful. I can't do that. so we try to avoid going through, and we want to take what we think is a shortcut.
Yeah.
But see, when you take shortcuts, you are basically going nowhere.
I know
everybody on here is probably riding a bike. You riding that bike, you got some momentum going, you may be even going down a hill.
Uh-huh.
If the chain breaks, you don't notice it at first because you got momentum. You're still going.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you start to slow down. Then you're still pedaling and you're going, what, nowhere. And I guarantee you, when you ain't going nowhere, you will fall. That's the principle. And here's what we don't understand. Whatever you don't go through, you're going to end up right back where you started from.
Mm.
There is no avoiding this going through thing.
Ooh, there is no avoiding it.
We must take up our cross daily and follow him, baby.
Oh, you speak in the Holy Ghost.
Do not stop avoiding the pain and the suffering. Matthew 26:39. Watch this. Look, Jesus was God in the flesh. He could have easily said, "Even it's done. I am not going to do this for them folks. They don't appreciate me.
Half
of them won't even listen to me." He could. I'm putting my own little touch on what could have happened. But I guarantee you, when I read in the Word, it's showing me that he had to have some doubts about us.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go back and pray. How many times? 3 times. And every time he came back to pray, the people that were supposed to be watching his back, what were they doing? Sleeping. That had to bring doubt.
Glory to God.
That had to bring doubt. That had to make him say, "Why am I doing this for these folks, and they can't even watch an hour for me?" But see, it wasn't about him. And we're going to read that right now. It wasn't about him. Because if it was about him, it would have already been finished. But it was about us and giving us example on how to go through.
Go through.
You got to go through, and you got to go through with purpose. See, when you know that every day is a cross for you, that's purpose.
You know
you're waking up the next day to something brand new that you got to deal with.
Remember, I was saying
a lot of us are waiting for the enemy to come to us. Baby, when you take up your cross, that means you are willing to go and fight the battle before it even gets there. You're willing to go out there willingly and face your cross because you've already designed it. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna let the enemy decide what my cross is gonna be today. I'm gonna be the one in charge of it. I'm the one, because of the God that's in me. I'm gonna step out here and I'm just gonna put it on the wall.
Monday, I'm dealing with this, and I'll be done with it. Because he says I can cast it into the sea and forget. Then Tuesday, I'm gonna deal with that one. See, some of us need to be a plant. We need to be planners. That we are going through this walk by taking up our cross daily with a plan. Then once you got a plan, now you got a purpose. Because you're just not waiting, you know, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. You're going after the Lord. Oh, I'm just holding on to God's unchanging hand. No, you're not. Don't find his hand. But it can only happen when we're willing to go forward on our own. We got to stop being motivated. We got to be self-motivated. That scripture is so powerful that you deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It's a process. If he meant it to be yearly, he would have said yearly. That's Jesus speaking. He said daily.
Mm-hmm.
That means he was giving us an insight that this thing ain't going to quit. It's going to keep going and going and going and going and going. And the more you go out and take up your cross and deal with it, the better you're going to be in your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we must understand it's not about you. Everything is about God. And Jesus showed us right here. First, this is Matthew 26 and 39. And we know the story. And we can go through, you know, the Last Supper and all. But this is the most powerful part right here in 39. He went a little further and fell on his face. I'm going to stop right there because I got to probably say this one.
A little bit further.
You know, have you went a little bit farther?
Come on now.
And are you just getting on your knees? Are you actually falling on your face? You know, David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Whenever he prayed, whenever he worshiped, he lay prostrate. He didn't need no blanket. He laid on the rocks. Because nothing mattered about comfort. It was him laying on his face and giving God all the glory.
All
the honor. See, all. God has to get it all. But he reads right there. He says, oh, my Father. See, his flesh, remember I told you, our sinful nature? His flesh was messing with him right there. Because when he came back that third time, he said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, look, he asked that because he didn't, you know, he was really doubting the worth of what he was about to go through. He was going to be put through his biggest cross. Yes, he had dealt with crosses throughout his whole walk. His own family, his own town wouldn't receive him. The Pharisees wouldn't receive him. Half the people wouldn't receive him. I mean, those are crosses that he dealt with daily, but he denied himself. He took up his cross, and he followed God. But he said, let this cup pass from me.
Let this cup pass from me.
You see that little stop right there? Because his flesh was telling him right now, oh, boy, you better not do that for them. They're not going to obey you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy, you know, don't remember we talked about this two weeks ago. He was tempted by the enemy. And what did he do? He didn't use his Holy Spirit power or nothing. He relied on the word because he said, it is written. See how much our relationship and our bonded relationship with God matters? Because now when trouble comes, we rely not on what the word, but on the word. He says, let this cup pass from me. Then the Holy Spirit took over. He said, no. Nevertheless, not as I will. See, it was all him denying of himself. Because everything in him was saying, you know, I'm done with this. I don't want to get punctured in the side. I don't want to be crucified on the cross. That was his flesh speaking.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
But now he said, not as I will, but as you will. As you will.
See, family, everything must be about God's will.
Mm.
It's a
must. It's mandatory. It's priority.
Yes.
Come on now. I'm telling you, you got to get this. You got to understand that it ain't about you and what you want to do. It ain't about him and what he want to do. It ain't about her and what she want to do. It has to be about God's will.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
If you want a successful marriage, it has to be about God's will.
Mm.
If you want a successful position at a company, it must be about God's will. Some of us just get jobs for necessity because that's what give me a paycheck. But that ain't where God wants you to be. But we took it just because I had to pay my bills. No, if you trust in his will and not your will, then he'll give you exactly what he says that you can have.
Hey, glory. Trust you, God.
Matthew 10. Now, watch. I'm going to show you some more words. Watch this.
Trust in you, Lord.
Matthew 10 and 38. Now, Jesus. He's helping me. Constantly, this word lives. Constantly, this word shows me a new way that I can take up another cross tomorrow.
Oh, glory.
Now watch this. This is the word. This is Jesus in Matthew 10 and 38. He says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Mm-hmm. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
My God.
He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
See, look. If you don't think this cross, this daily walk with Christ, following him by denying yourself and taking up your cross, that's the word telling you right now. And this is just a little prolific. If there's no cross in your life, then there's no word.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word. That the word said that. It says that if you will not take up your cross daily and follow me, you are not worthy of me. So that tells me that daily I must do this thing to show myself worthy.
Worthy.
I don't know about you, but I want to be worthy.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I want the same stuff to happen to me all the time.
Oh, I bless you.
I don't know about you, but I want to go higher.
Higher.
And guess what? If we don't take it higher, you're going to go lower.
My God.
We think that there's a middle ground. No, there's not. There is not a middle ground. There's either down or up.
Hallelujah.
There's no dormancy. There's no sitting around and holding on and patting your hand. And this. No, you must go higher, but it takes some work.
Mm-hmm.
We must work the principle. Now watch this. Now I'm going to show you that. Look, when you go through, we already understood that if we don't go through with our cross on us daily, then there's no work. You might as well stop wasting his time and yours. And I know some people say, well, how did they say that? I'm just trying to keep it real with you. Because if you're going to keep, playing this game halfway and thinking you're going to get a different result in the end, you're not.
Mm.
You're going to get just what the enemy wants you to get, and that's nothing.
Nah.
I mean, look at Daniel. We remember that story. Daniel was faced with a decision. He could have went around it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he went through it.
Mm-hmm.
But he went through it. Now, look, watch this. He went through it already knowing that he was going to have to go through something.
Yes.
They had already put it out plain and clear. If you pray to your Father God, we are going to put you in the fire. He had a choice to make. He took up his cross and he went forward. So when he went through, what happened? He was purged through the fire. I mean, I remember the story. They were looking and thought they saw the angels in there, and they saw this and they saw that, and with Daniel, and Daniel was just sitting there rejoicing. Because 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 tells us that God comforts us through the trial and through the test.
Yeah,
if you don't go through, you're not going to get no comfort. Because it didn't say God comforts those who avoid the test. It didn't say God comforts those who go around the test. It didn't say God comforts those. It says God comforts those who go through the test and the trial. When daily, you've got to go through it. And people ask me all the time, man, you seem like you never have a bad day. I don't, because I already know I got to go through some stuff today.
I love that.
I wake up every day knowing that, I'm going to deal with this off the top because I know that's going to come up against me. So, yes, I walk in victory. I walk in, they say, man, you're always upbeat. Yes, because I look, what other way is it to be? I already know God is comforting me as I go through. I got the principle down. And as I go through and he's purging me through my trial and my tribulation, he now gives me comfort.
Mm.
It does say that he will never put too much on you than you can handle. You know why? Because he's already with you. He knows what you got to go through. Mm. It's already been planned. It's already been purposed. There's already instructions that we got to take up our cross daily. We got to follow him. And if we don't take up our cross, there's no worth. But watch this. Hebrews 5:8. Here's some more word. We don't stay in this word because there's no other way to connect it.
That's what we need.
If we learn to stay in the word on everything that we're dealing with, We'll see the answer a lot faster.
Mm.
But we want to just pray, God do this, God do that. But it's in the word already. The answer for every problem you need is in this book.
Mm.
I actually call my Bible my SOP. You in the corporate world know what I'm talking about. SOP means standard operational procedures. You go to the job and they give you an employee handbook. If you don't follow them rules, you will get fired. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If you do not follow the Word through everything you do in life, you will be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
The Word must be where we get our strength from, where we get our answers from. And there are, for everything you go through, from starting a business to getting married, to raising your children, to having friends, to be in relationship with other people, it's in the Word.
Mm.
You don't need a self-help book. And I'm not knocking authors. I'm actually writing a book right now myself, and I'm not knocking authors. But the book I'm writing is what I'm learning from the Word.
The Word. Come on.
My thinking, if I just kept it all about my thinking, it might be some messed up people. But when my thinking becomes his thinking, because it says, let this mind be in you, and if you notice, I'm always going back to that bonded relationship, because that bonded relationship is him and you, you and him. But it says that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when the problem comes and it's time to go around, you say, oh, no. I wish this cup would pass, but not my will, but your will. Daniel did the same thing. He could have easily said, I'm going to pray in my closet. They won't see me. No, he got outside the window where he does it all the time, and he made a choice to go through the circumstance. It's a must, Hebrews 5:8. Ooh, Jesus. I hope this is helping somebody today. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he went through. See, he learned that by obeying God, by going through the trial and the tribulation, that it was a mandatory process that he must go through.
Mm.
That's where you need to get today. Friend, family, you must go through.
I have to go through.
There's no getting around it. You must go through. Stop hiding. Stop avoiding it. Because you must go through. If you feel like your life is in a spinning, you see, that's not God. If you're not going nowhere in life, that's not God. It's supposed to be a process of constant growing daily. Now watch this. Watch the word. Woo, Jesus. Tomorrow is going to be off the chain. But I really want to set the standard. So tonight, as you're going through, and please come back tomorrow. Invite five people. I know we only get so many calls, but let's get this phone line not for me, but finding the problem of being able to go through with purpose. Let's get some people involved in this thing. Let's show them that it ain't just about me. You need this too.
You need it too.
And I guarantee you, everybody on this line has at least three people that every time you're talking to them, they're complaining about something.
That's right. I got about 10, 20 of them.
I got about 30. But I guarantee you, at least five people in your life, you know that at least one or two conversations a week that you have with them, they are talking about things that they're not going through but going around.
That's right.
I ain't been with him in 10 years, and I just can't kick the force. You better kick the force. Go through. I just can't do this. Yes, you can. That's your cross that you must bear daily. Get rid of it. That's the thing that's holding you back. That's the thing that is hindering you from going higher. Because this relationship thing, as we get in a process of barter and trade with God, we are constantly him and us and him. That's a constant process that must continue. You can't cut it off one day and expect it to be as strong as it was the day before.
Mm-hmm.
This process, that's what the process is about. The process is that it wants to show us how to go higher, higher, higher. You're not supposed to stay dormant. You are. Oh, Jesus. Yes, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say this one. You were not meant to be behind that cashier all these years. You're supposed to be owning that company by now.
No.
You were not supposed to be typing on that typewriter for 10 years. You should have been running your own typing business by now. There is no reason in the world that you are still driving vans for somebody else when you should own your own fleet by now. But the reason why we don't have it is because we get dormant to stay in one place.
That's true.
But when we go through and we understand that God is the one, he is the author and the finisher, he's everything. That when now you start to worship him in his will and not your will, that's when you'll see all the entrepreneurial gifts come to you. I share this with churches that I go and do these seminars for. And they're always saying, because I am, I believe in tithe and offering, I believe in giving, and I believe in all that. That is the word. But I don't believe in giving to keep the doors open. I don't believe that God put us in a position that we should have to worry about your tithes and offering on whether that door stays open that I can help other people.
All right.
Now, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. But I believe that if we are truly in his will, that God will give us entrepreneurial ideas to start a business that will now take us to a point where we can keep the doors open for free. And then watch this. We can put our people to work.
Come on.
Then they don't have to work for the world no more because, see, if more churches had businesses connected with churches, we wouldn't have to go work in the world. We can now work in the body. Sometimes we don't look at where the money comes from. And we expect us, just because we give, we expect it to bless us. But I'm going to tell you, some of the money that we come about is not godly. How can we expect him to bless it? Ooh, that's another sermon altogether.
Yeah.
But listen. I believe that we are called to be leaders, not followers. We are called to be the designers, not the designee. We are called to be the innovator. We are called to be greater than anything else because greater is what? He that is in me than the evil that's in the world.
So if I can let
the Spirit of God in me design the things in my life, I can be successful. But see, here the problem is, we get successful and we'll leave God in a minute.
That's it.
We get a little money in our pocket and we don't go to church like we always used to go.
Hallelujah.
We get a new car and they may not ever see us no more. But you've been at church praying for that car for 10 years. You finally got that new car and they can't even find you in the congregation no more. That's our problem. See, God is tired of us using him.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God is tired of us using him. He is ready for us to take our responsibility. I'm going to repeat that one there. It is time for us to take responsibility for this walk in Christ.
Yeah.
We always, and I hear this all the time. We always want to blame God for this. We always want to blame God for that. We always want to blame God for this. But did we really give God all he required of us to now expect him to give us all he said we can have? If you aren't willing to take up your cross, the word just told us there's no worth. There's no benefit. There's nothing going to come out of it if you're not willing to do the principle. The principle must be followed, and it must be followed completely. Let me spell that one. C-O-M-P-L-E-T-E-Y. Completely. Stop leaving out this part just because it hurts, or just because it means it's gonna require something of you. That's the easiest way for us to stop. As soon as something is required of us,
we stop.
As soon as we got to do the work,
we stop.
We about ready to give up then.
Oh, glory, Jesus.
But see, when you take responsibility, watch this. Mm-hmm. When you take the responsibility, it is now ownership. Now that bonded relationship with God is an ownership. You take ownership of it. Just like when you got that new car, you went, got a car wash, you got some Armor All, you got that thing shiny. Every time you go out somewhere, the windows are clean. And it's the same thing about this relationship. We got to get this thing shiny. We got to take responsibility to be in charge of it. We keep thinking it's God's responsibility to keep putting gas in us. No, it's not. It's our responsibility to get the Holy Spirit strengthened in us. It's our responsibility to get this walk with Christ in order. Stop blaming your pastor. Stop blaming the evangelist, the apostles. Stop blaming other folks. Because it's your responsibility to do what other folks are trying to show you to do.
My God.
I can teach you this principle all day long. I can go through it with you every day. But if you do not work this principle, I'm telling you now, it's not going to work.
My God.
Here, I'm going to repeat that one again. If you do not take this principle and work it for yourself, and you're expecting Evangelist Bernard to do it,
thank you, Jesus,
or somebody else to do it, it's not going to work. It's just a bunch of letters that are going to run together for you. I'm gonna say this, Lord. A lot of times we read the Bible and can't understand what it's saying.
My God.
Because it takes the Spirit of God in you to reveal to you the promises of his word. See, that's the life of it.
Thank you, God.
When a word is spoken, it's supposed to already show what it's supposed to do.
My God.
The life of the word comes to life. The letter will kill it, and it just wants you to see the letter, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The Spirit wants you to see the vision, the purpose, the plan. And
the direction on what God will have you to do.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus.
Now I've showed you here that God will comfort you through your trials and your tests.
Mm.
I've also shared with you that it is a mandatory principle that you must go through.
Mm.
But just because you go through, don't make it over. The enemy is not going to quit just because you made a choice to take up your cross daily and go through. Because tomorrow you may try half of this principle, and all of a sudden fear comes up. And then you're going to say, you taught me? No. I'm going to tell you the enemy will not quit. And here, this is a free one too. If you're about to change your life for God, get ready, because he's about to bombard you with every little thing that could come against you to make you doubt God is God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
The more you say yes, Jesus, the more he's going to say no. But by pushing and going through with the attitude that it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
See, do you know you're better prepared when you already know it's coming? I very seldom check my mailbox. But somebody called me and said, hey, I sent you something in the mail. You know, I was prepared to go to my mailbox.
That's right. Hallelujah.
See, we have to be in a spirit of preparation, ready to go forward, ready to take on the enemy, ready to fight the battle.
Yeah,
and understand,
probably.
Temptation and sin is not going to quit.
My God.
It's going to tell you to go around. It's going to tell you to spin. It's going to tell you to fall. All these things. But that's when the greater he that lives in you, remember the principle that starts it? God in you, you in God, obedience. See, when you have obedience, that means you will take Luke 9:23 to heart. That means you will take Matthew 10:38 to heart. That means you will take Matthew 26:39 to heart. It will become life in you because now it's not me, but he that lives in me. Yes, he's going to comfort you. He's going to make sure that you know that you know that you know that he's there for you. But that does not going to make the enemy stop. He's going to come against you with your past. He's going to come against you with fear and doubt. He's going to definitely come at you with temptation. Temptation will lead to sin. Man, I'm going to have to say that one again because I think we think it's both the same thing.
Mm.
Temptation is going to come.
Yeah.
But when you make a choice to follow, that's when you sin. So don't think that you're not in a good relationship with God just because temptation coming. Because temptation will continue to come. That's going to prove you going through having the strength to go through because you don't fall to sin no more. When you get in the middle of the fire, temptation is going to try to get you to leave. When you get through the obstacle, temptation is going to tell you that you know something ain't right with you. Why are you putting yourself through this? What makes you think that a God you can't see is right there for you and going to comfort you through this mess you're about to go through? Because you can feel it. You can feel the heat getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, tell me I ain't telling the truth. Tell me when something's coming up to you and ain't reminding you of how hot it is in there. Or how bad it's going to hurt to be without lights. We look at choices in life by coming about the things that we need. But God says that he will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to your riches and glory, not according to somebody else's riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory.
Glory.
See, that's the Holy Spirit in you, not on you. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you, not the world. That's the Holy Spirit comforting you as you go through.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus. Aren't you tired of starting right back where you going back where you started from?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
Listen, family. God intended for us to be in a love relationship with him.
when we're in a love relationship with him, do you know that there's no doubt, that there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no fear, there's nothing but the Spirit of God. So as you make the steps, as you take up your cross daily, it's a decision that you must make. And guess what? It's a decision that you must make right now. But come on, stop. Go, let it go. Get over it. Understand that he got something better for you.
Yes, God. Yes.
I know in the flesh it feels good. I know in the flesh it feels good. But what feels good ain't always good.
Mm.
What tastes good is not always tasteful or good
yes.
for you. What looks good is definitely not always good for you. What sounds good, you know, the beat sounds good, but when you, you know, well, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. Yes, that song sounds good through the beat, but if you analyze the words that are being deposited into your spirit, that ain't good.
Yeah, it ain't good. Thank you, God.
And if it ain't good, it ain't glorifying him. Because now you've regressed. See, that's where he wants to see us. He wants us to regress. So now we can be in our past of pain, in our past of unfulfilling and being just enough to make it. That's where he wants you at. Because if he can keep you there, you'll never go where God said you can go.
Glory.
You can never have what God said you can have. It's time.
God.
It's time to be purged through your own fire. It's time for us to rejoice, even in the storm. 1 Peter 12. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. I move. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
1 Peter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
We must rejoice. Now, look, we must rejoice in the Spirit, because it's not so much what you do, it's how you do it.
Yes.
Oh, I went through, but I'm murmuring and complaining the whole time. That's not God.
Mm.
I went through, and I just did what I had to do. No. You are supposed to go through an attitude of already winning. The Bible says, speak those things that are not as if they're already done. If you don't already talk about you being victorious, you won't be.
You won't be. Thank you, Jesus.
If you don't already say that I am more than a conqueror, you won't be.
Hallelujah.
I hope this is not personal, but if you don't stop telling your kids that they're crazy, what do you think they're going to end up?
Because
that word, now watch. The word comes to life on both sides. Words are, that's another principle here in P2P. Words are so powerful, they give either life or death.
If you don't tell your
your kid is making C's, and you don't speak into their lives that they can make A's, they never will. If you don't encourage them with a word that may not be alive today, but that word has so much power that it will increase their spirit to already believe they can do it.
They can do it. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, there's especially down south, especially for our race. I know I'm light-skinned, y'all may question, but yes, I am African-American. And in our race in the south, do you know that a lot of people are scared to swim? And because my grandmother was scared, I was scared. Now my kids are scared. Now their kids are scared. Now their kids are scared. See, it's a revolving process that our words must carry life. So whatever you're speaking into the people, If you cannot go through your trial and your tribulation with a spirit of victoriousness in it, then, you know, you need to move around. You need to change the way you speak and the words that you let come out of your mouth. I let that little gap go there because I need you to hear that part. You and you and me and everybody else we have the control to speak destiny into our lives. We are in control to speak positiveness in our lives. We are in control to make it or break it.
Oh.
But it cannot be your will. Whose will must it be? It must be His will.
Must be God's will.
Now watch this. See, you know, this may throw some of you out there a little bit. But we already talked about it's a mandatory must that we must go through. Then he tells us that he does comfort us. It does tell us that we must rejoice as we go through. But watch this. James 1 and 7. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's it.
James 1 and 7.
Yeah.
It reads, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord."
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why did I read that? It's 1 and 17. My bad. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of or turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by this word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creature. God is calling you to something. Family, you were just not put here not to have a purpose. Family, you were not put here just to go through the motions. Family, and what we're going to learn tomorrow that this is a rewarding task. Daily, there are gifts and there are rewards for you going through with a rejoicing spirit. Understanding when you wake up in the morning, get ready. And learn to use the word to your advantage. Because you can easily say to anything that comes up against you, get thee behind me, and it shall come to pass. But see, that word, now watch this. When you speak that word, if you speak that word only in letter form and they still whooping you, that's why, because you didn't transfer it into spirit form. We have to take this thing to another level. We got to go so much higher with this thing that now God can see through the fruit of our labor. Through the fruit of whose labor? Our labor. Not His labor, not Paul's labor, not James. Do our labor. We must put in the work ourselves.
Jesus.
I mean, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a choice to make.
Yes, Lord.
They could have easily sold Daniel out. They could have easily just said, you know what, no, I ain't never seen him before. He is not going to save me out of there. I've never tangibly touched him. So how can I trust that if I say yes to him, everything is going to be all right? You know why? Because it wasn't their will, it was His will. So today we talked about going through with purpose. See, you can go through some stuff, but if you ain't got a purpose, you just going through. Bonded relationship.
God in us must be the first and last, always. That must be everything that we feel on. Yes, you went through your principle today, but tomorrow the first thing has to be you and your relationship with God. You want more of what he has for you? Build your relationship. You want more of what he said you can? You want more of what he said you can have? Build up your bonded relationship with him. And we're going to close here because tomorrow we're going to finish the principle out. But listen.
Lord.
We have got to get this thing in line. How do you preach a sermon like that? I'm really just teaching a lesson because this lesson will show us how we can really make it happen. Not for us, but for him.
Jesus.
And contrary to popular belief, that's what you were put here for his will. We read that last week. Remember we talking about, is anything too impossible? We read that last week. All things were made by him, through him, for his good pleasure. See, when we go through and we go through victorious, it's just not about us getting anywhere. It's about him getting the glory. When we stay obedient to his word, that's not showing that we can just be obedient. That is giving him the glory. See, stop trying to elevate yourself and get to this position and that position when God needs to be the only thing in position. Yes, there are positions that we must fill and we must go into our calling and everything, but God still must be the one who gets the glory. I don't need to pat myself on the back. I don't need to know. Anything I'm doing, I'm trying to give him the glory, because to tell you the truth, for it to be successful for me, it's his will, not mine. So today, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father God, we thank you today. Lord, we submit. Lord, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, for you alone are worthy. So Heavenly Father God, as we leave today, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just enrich our spirit and our thinking, Lord. That, Lord, we will not perish for the lack of knowledge, but we will live because of the word that you've given us. Open up our minds. Open up our thought process, Heavenly Father God. Heavenly Father God, we know that this way of teaching may have not been heard before in certain parts of the country. Lord, we ask you to make it a revelation knowledge today, Heavenly Father God. We pray that, Lord, as the word is being spoken, that it's coming to life, that now everyone who is listening can see it go into practice.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Jesus. And we just say, have your way. And Lord, we're coming back tomorrow, Lord. We want you to get us prepared tonight, Heavenly Father God.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
So less of us and more of you is what we need. We thank you in your son Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen, 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 amen.
Amen, 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 amen. I tell you, we don't know how many of y'all find out from Sister Ruby. Everybody knows who's on the line. But we want you all to tune in tomorrow. This word have really just touched me today, I tell you. So if you didn't grasp any of it for yourself, then I'm taking it all for me today. This word was rich. It was transforming. It was anointed. And I tell you, it was God. God gave you this, Pastor Hamilton. God gave you this going through. This is something you just don't pull out the sky and pull off an article off the internet. God gave you this today. And I tell you, oh, God, we just want to invite you all back tomorrow. And while Pastor Hamilton was speaking and he didn't ask for this, and I just felt in my spirit, when you all come back tomorrow, I know many of us have many family members, co-workers, even those we sit right next to in church that need to hear a word like this. Because all of us are going through, but we're not going through with the purpose. Amen. We're going through something. But to go through with purpose, it takes something. So invite somebody to come on the line tomorrow and hear this word. And also, I want every listener that is tuning in by the mobile phones or those that go back in the archive, we want you all to sow a $20 seed tomorrow, not to me, but for Pastor Hamilton. I want you all to sow into this man's ministry. He comes on faithfully, and he never asks for anything, and we don't get on the line begging. And he just said today, you know, we give our tithes and our offering because that is what that's what's commanded of us to do. But he said something so profound today. He said it shouldn't take that for the doors to be kept open, because guess what? God is always going to make provision for us. So we shouldn't have to prime and pump if people pay their tithes and their offerings. You know what? We shouldn't be on them, browbeating them now for the doors. We should be responsible and be good stewards of what God has given us. And he said that today. He don't believe that that should keep the doors open. Our trust and our faith in what God has called us to do, he's already made provision for that to be done. So bring a special seed tomorrow. $20, that's nothing. So if we have 15 or 20 of you all on the line tomorrow, I'm asking all of you all to sow a seed. And Pastor Hamilton going to give you his website tomorrow where you can go on and pay online with your debit card or whatever you have. Some of us that don't believe in that, that's good to everybody. Don't believe in going online, so maybe they'll just send a money order to Pastor Hamilton's ministry. We want to sow into this man of God's life. Amen. So we're going to sow tomorrow into his life, and that's just a small seed. And if you can do more, do more, but don't do less, okay? Try to do what we ask or above. Amen. And if you don't have it, guess what? We can't do anything about that. But you can ask God tonight, Lord, make a way for me to have a seed tomorrow to sow after Pastor Hamilton finished this two-day seminar. Amen. Going through with a purpose. Amen. So is there any special song you'd like to hear? Sister Ruby is main in the switchboard, and we just praise God for Sister Ruby. She's been such a blessing to this ministry and to my family and to the family of God. She is a jewel in God's kingdom. So we thank God for her opening up the lines today and man in the switchboard and promoting with the button. It takes a lot of work, and you got to be attentive. You can't just be wandering off. You got to stay tuned because people are coming on the line. Some have to drop off. Some are on their jobs listening. You know, Sister Millie comes on faithfully and listens, and she's in Atlanta, Georgia. And she listened while she's on her job, and my sister also. So we want you all to prepare tomorrow. We want to be a blessing to Provoke to Purpose Ministry and to Pastor Hamilton. So we're looking forward to seeing you. Invite a friend or somebody that you know that's going through, but they don't have purpose as they go through. We want you to invite them on the line, and we'll get all the information from Sister Ruby on tomorrow. So God bless you, Pastor Hamilton. We love you.
God bless you, too. Love you, too, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Amen, amen, amen. You can close us out with the song, Sister Ruby. God bless you all. Have a beautiful day. Be on time tomorrow because we're going to put Pastor Hamilton right on up So after we do our little opening and monologue, he'll be up about 108, 110. So call in early where you don't miss anything. And I have to go back because I was doing something for a few minutes and missed a word or two. So I've got to go back into the archives and get some of those notes that I missed with that couple of minutes that I was doing something in this house. Amen. So God bless you. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
Yeah, praise the Lord, everybody. We have a new caller. I don't see the number before. It's 614-8951. Would you, your line is open, caller. 614-8951.
Amen. We greet you, caller, and we welcome you, and thank you for tuning in today. Come back tomorrow and invite somebody else to come back on. And if you're able to give a remark or comment to our pastor and life coach, you can do so. So thank God for you tuning in with us on today. God bless you.
Okay. And Deacon Anthony, 209-3721. Deacon Anthony?
Yes. How you doing, Sister Ruby?
Bless you.
God bless you.
And Pastor Helen, that was a powerful word, and I so thank you. I think my wife wanted I said no, somehow.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You all know you're special because we weren't opening up the line for remarks. We're going to do it tomorrow, but go right ahead. We're just so happy to see Deacon Anthony on the line and his wife. God bless you all. Go right ahead.
Well, we all listened in on the way coming up to the hospital to see my brother, me and my cousins, my girls, my husband. We all listened in. It was a very, very powerful word, and I appreciate God for what my ears have heard. And I just thank God for being a prayer answering God. I thank God for sparing my brother's life. And I just want to thank and appreciate God for who he is and who he's been in my life in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. And we want you all to pray for that family. Her brother was shot 3 times there in Oakland, Pastor Hamilton. So we want you to continue to pray for her brother, John is his name. And John, I don't know, what's his brother's last name?
John Lott.
John Lott?
L-O-T-T, Lott.
John Lott, L-O-T-T. And also remember Evangelist Sharon Phillips, she lost her sister on yesterday. So I'm going to ask Pastor Hamilton before he goes to just offer up a word of prayer. And then
he
we're
left
gone.
Already, Evangelist.
He's gone? Okay. All right. Well, we just bless the Lord and thank God for you, Lord God. We ask you to continue to touch John as they travel to Oakland to see about him, Lord God. Strengthen him, strengthen his body, Lord God. And let this experience be a life opener for him. Let him give his life to the Lord, Lord. We don't know why you allow things to come upon us, God, but we asking you to touch his body. Hallelujah. Strengthen him and raise him up, Lord God, where he can do the work what you have destined for him to do. Lord God, and we asking you to touch the bereaved family of Evangelist Sharon Phillips, God. We ask you to bless her and strengthen her family, Lord God. Comfort the children and the grandchildren of our sister, Lord God, and give them peace in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we magnify you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. We're going to close on out, but we're looking forward to a powerful word tomorrow with Pastor Hamilton again. So remember, bring me tomorrow to sow into Pastor Hamilton's life. God bless you all. Sister
Ruth. Bernard, we just wanted to let Sister Albertine say a word and Sister Cammie on the line.
Okay,
Sister Albertine.
Pastor Hamilton is gone. Tomorrow we're going to have open for our comments and remarks.
Okay.
God will make a way. I know that he will. I've seen it and he will. Oh, God will bring make a way.
Everybody on the archives, and we're closing out. Be back on tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. God bless everybody. Praise the Lord.